This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
One play-in game was locked up last night. I know we're all getting ready. Watch party. Bulls and Hawks. We got it. Why are you shaking your head, Canty? You're not pumped? Bulls and Hawks? Hey, Billy Donovan's staying with the Bulls. We know that.
Okay.
Not going to Kentucky.
How many other 3-on-none fast breaks can the Bulls blow?
Who said it to me yesterday? Somebody around here said, I think that was the greatest play in NBA history.
It was awesome.
That the 3-on-none blown fast break for the Bulls, they deemed to be the maybe it was Hembo, said the greatest play in the history of the NBA. That's not the Bulls play that I would use. I mean, there's this Michael guy that I would use in my marketing, but yeah.
Well, it was unforgettable.
There you go.
It was an unforgettable play.
No doubt about it.
So when we look at the play-in right now in the Eastern Conference, Philly and Miami are the 7-8, and Chicago and Atlanta are the 9-10. The Western Conference got very interesting last night because the Warriors have been playing excellent basketball. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. They, like the Lakers, are 45-35. They are tied record-wise. But the Golden State Warriors, as of now, would host the play-in game. They have the tiebreaker against the Lakers as the 9 seed. But both of them are tied with Sacramento in a three-way deal here, with Sacramento as the 8th seed. So there is a chance one of the Warriors or Lakers could potentially bounce up to the 8th seed, which gives them two opportunities to get in and an opportunity to maybe to avoid Denver. Just throwing this out there. We all talk about how the Lakers and the Warriors we talk about them too much. Charles Barkley said, oh, all of the ESPN people talk about them too much. I'm not saying he's wrong. But if they end up as a 7 seed, I know your Timberwolves are the 2 seed, but do we think the Lakers and Warriors can maybe make a run if they end up as a 7 seed?
No.
Okay. That was fun while it lasted.
No, I mean, listen. I tried to
hype that up as best as I could there.
Did a good job.
As much as I want the Lakers to repeat what they did last year, I'm just thinking about how much energy they're expending down the stretch just to even put themselves in this position. They were trying to climb up out of the play-in. They had a couple of bad weeks of basketball, ended up falling back into the 9-10 matchup, and now that game is on the road where the Lakers are 17-21 on the season. So it's not great. Even though I acknowledge that Golden State isn't a great home team, I still don't like the position that the Lakers are in because there's no margin for error. They got to win 2 games just to get into a playoff series, and I'm not sure that that's going to happen this year the way it went down last year. So, yeah, I'm skeptical of what the Lakers are going to be able to accomplish, especially if Golden State can catch fire like they did when they played earlier this week when the Warriors made 26 three-pointers and shot over 60% from downtown.
It certainly seems like they're catching fire. 9-1 in their last 10. Obviously, a team with championship DNA. So many of those players still there. That's just a team that, despite looking at times this season like we were giving them no chance, that if they get hot at the right time, which they are, I certainly will not count out.
So you're saying Golden State has Golden a chance State. Against one of those young teams versus the Lakers?
Couldn't you see that happening? Steph Curry and that core coming in there and upsetting one of these young teams that doesn't have the experience.
I could actually see it happening with OKC because the styles of play are very similar in terms of how Dagenau plays and how Steve Kerr plays in terms of what they do offensively. Like, it's almost like looking in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes really, really interesting. And OKC has struggled a little bit down the stretch. Health is a concern. SGA has kind of been banged up. We'll see what ends up happening. Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, two of their other stars. Like, this is their first time in the postseason with real expectations. I'm just not quite sure. They don't necessarily look like they're playing at their best or the best that we've seen them throughout the course of this regular season right now. And so much of success in the playoffs is being able to have that momentum, being at your best when your best is required. Now, conversely, the Minnesota Timberwolves, that's going to be a tough out for anybody, just because of how good they are defensively. And you saw that second night of a back-to-back against the Denver Nuggets. And think about this. We haven't even seen the Timberwolves hole yet because there's the anticipation that Karl Anthony Towns will come back at some point during the playoffs. So,
Tonight.
So, again, that is going to be a much tougher task if that's the draw for Golden State or the Lakers.
All right, let's do a quick round for the play-in of that's a win, that's a loss. 2 games left, so we're not going to do too many games here.
Yeah.
Lakers at Memphis. Who wins tonight?
Lakers.
Okay, all right, so Lakers get a win there. New Orleans at Golden State.
Ooh.
I might go Golden State.
Where's that game at?
At Golden State.
I like New Orleans, man. Give me New Orleans.
We're splitting that then. Phoenix at Sacramento tonight.
That one's tough.
Sacramento.
Yeah, I think I'll go Sacramento too.
Okay, so then we have on Sunday, there are no games in the NBA on Saturday. Not a single game on Saturday. So every team can play on Sunday, the final day of the regular season. Lakers at New Orleans on Sunday.
Give me New Orleans.
Okay.
Because New Orleans needs those games to stay out of the play-in.
Utah at Golden State.
Oh, Golden State.
Okay.
Golden State.
And Portland at Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what would happen here in this scenario? We would have Sacramento is 2-0, so they're in. They're the they would be the eighth seed at that point, I believe.
Yeah.
And that Golden State would then end up hosting against the Lakers, I think.
Yeah. Because
they would have the same record, tie break. Well, this is a three-team tie break that we have right now, but let's just assume then we would have Phoenix and Sacramento in that 7-8.
7-8 game.
And then we would have the Lakers and the Warriors, but it's the Lakers at the Warriors in this hypothetical scenario, if I'm getting the math right on all of this, which I believe I am.
Yeah.
I think I am here. So that's what we would have this weekend, which would mean that they would the winner of the Lakers and the Warriors could only potentially get to the 8 seed by beating the loser of the 7-8 matchup, which means best case scenario for the Lakers or Warriors, you get the defending champs in the first round, the Denver Nuggets.
Congratulations.
Not ideal in that spot. But it's also not ideal for the Nuggets. Like, it's very interesting this year that the one seed in each conference doesn't have a cakewalk in the first round. If you think about it, more likely than not, the Celtics are going to face either the Sixers or the Heat in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an ideal first round matchup.
No.
Not at all.
They'll probably beat the Heat. I'm not sure that they're going to beat the Sixers. I got to be honest with you.
I don't think they would beat the Sixers.
So that means the Celtics could lose in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
Are you saying there's no chance for the Heat?
No, I'm not saying. I mean, listen,
as
I love
Heat
the Heat
guy.
Yeah, they just haven't played that well, obviously, this season. They didn't play that well last season.
I was going to say,
it's a different Boston team than last year.
It is a different Boston team.
But we didn't
for sure.
expect that run from them last year, though.
It's the last. It's the last or second to last team you want if you're Boston in the first round. You don't work this hard to have this much of a lead to see that team that has beaten you twice over the last 3 years, and the only loss was a game 7 on a missed Jimmy Butler 3 to end a game. That's not the team you want to see in the first round. You don't want Spoelstra, Adebayo, and Butler in the first round. And you sure as hell don't want Nurse, Embiid, and Maxey in the first round.
No.
It's almost like the one seed as a penalty this year. And then think about the Nuggets. You may end up with Steph, Draymond, and Klay, and Steve Kerr in the first round, or LeBron and AD in the first round. That stinks if you're the one seed.
Well, I don't think the Nuggets are worried about the Lakers after what they did to them in the conference finals last year.
I think they're worried about the Warriors.
I don't think they're worried about the Warriors either.
But is that what you want in the first round of the playoffs?
But think about
the Warriors are one of the worst teams from a defensive rating standpoint in the league.
But
they're 21st in defensive rating.
Been better recently, I think.
Yeah, they might be better recently, but are they better in terms of what we can expect against the Denver Nuggets?
Wait, what number are they in the league?
21st.
21? I tried to set you up. You took the ST at the end there. Come on now.
I took the bait. You did it. I took the bait.
But think about how our reaction is so different to Denver and their potential opposition than it is to Boston and theirs.
Because we've seen it. What have we seen from Boston? Falling short. We all know how this team has had multiple. They've had three different coaches that they have gotten to the conference finals with in the Tatum-Brown era, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brad Stevens, Ime Udoka finals, and then Joe Mazzulla. Three different coaches. So when we think of this era with the Boston Celtics, we think of them falling short. When we think of this era with the Denver Nuggets, we think of them gradually getting better to ultimately winning a title mm-hmm. to a point that we've literally had a conversation on our show today. Go back on the ESPN app or wherever you find podcasts about where Jokic is going to rank all time if it's top 20, 15, 10, and if he's definitively behind LeBron and Steph as the third best player of this era. That's a different conversation that we're having.
It's a different conversation, but the conversation from Jokic dramatically changed last postseason
yes.
with not only winning a title, but how he played. Like, he was absolutely awesome in the playoffs. He was awesome in the finals.
Dominant.
We have yet to get that moment from Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, whoever you want to say is the number one star on the Boston Celtics. We have yet to see that from them in the postseason when it matters the most. When Jason Tatum was in the finals, he was a freaking ghost against the Golden State Warriors. Like, he's going to have to step up and be more this postseason in order for us to continue to justify propping him up as a top five player in this sport.
There are a few teams that if you look at it, you put it like as potential first round ousters, like where you ask the question, could the Celtics actually lose in the first round? Could the Bucks lose in the first round? Could the Nuggets lose in the first round? Someone's going to lose between the Clippers and the Mavs in the first round.
I can absolutely see the Bucks losing in the first round.
Me too.
based on the draw, I could absolutely see that happening.
I think you're right about that. But we just said we think the Celtics could lose, and we think the Bucks could lose.
Because if the Sixers win the play-in game, then they ultimately end up matching up against
the Bucks,
Milwaukee.
But do it the other way for a second. Let's say Philadelphia loses to Miami in the play-in, just for argument's sake. And then Philadelphia wins against the winner of the Bulls and the Hawks. I can't even say that with a straight face. And then you have the Celtics and the Sixers, the Bucks and the Heat. Would you pick 7 and 8 respectively over 1 and 2?
No.
You wouldn't put Miami over Milwaukee?
No.
Okay. There's a chance, though. Like, you could theoretically have 7 and 8 win in the Eastern Conference.
Well, it's not like we didn't see it before. It happened last year.
Right.
It happened last year.
But to predict so it like, again is like, crazy. You know what I mean?
It happened last year. So.
It's crazy to think about that. Yeah. We could see that again in the NBA's Eastern Conference.
The Eastern Conference teams have more to worry about than the Western Conference teams.
Could you see one of 1 or 2 losing?
No.
Beating Minnesota?
No. No, I don't think Phoenix is going to beat Sacramento in the play-in.
You couldn't see Sacramento beating Minnesota?
No.
So you're not worried about Denver, Minnesota, or OKC?
I didn't say OKC.
I'm not worried about New Orleans against OKC. For some reason, I'm not. The best first-round series, if we don't have the Celtics or Bucks against the Sixers,
would be Lakers. Clippers-Mavericks.
No doubt.
Clippers-Mavericks.
Yeah. No doubt. Because if I told you that, if I said to you, forget seeding, we had Clippers-Mavs in the conference finals, you'd be like, all right, yeah, let's go.
Good matchup.
I got Luka. I got Kawhi going head-to-head for a chance to play in the finals. Where do you sign up for that?
Luka has owned the Clippers, too, by the way. He has owned them in the postseason.
And you have presented an interesting theme and storyline that we have not been talking about enough, that if Kawhi and the Clippers go on a run here, his place in history is going to be looked at in a fascinating way, because this will be a man, potentially, that could win 3 different titles with 3 different teams, and yet, what is he most known for? Not playing that much in the regular season. And yet he's so good that he could win 3 titles with 3 different teams. That changes a narrative around a person, and his place in history would be fascinating. 3 different titles with 3 different teams.
He would be making a mockery of the NBA.
Yeah.
Right? In an era where they're trying to get stars to play every night, he would just make a mockery of it. Yeah, see, low management works.
I'll see you in June.
They can't afford for Kawhi Leonard to win another championship.
Well, you don't think they want him to?
They can't afford for him to win another championship.
Jonte Porter has the under on that one. Oh, we're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Too soon.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Kenny? Or Canty?
This is not hard-hitting analysis. It's not that.
Can he or Canty?
That is the question.
Damn, it was hard to get analysis out, wasn't it? That was a rough day. Could not talk at all.
You got there, though.
You needed to find something to light your rocket, like Hembo says.
Oh,
please stop using that term. Can we please stop with that? Seriously.
It's the worst term. I hate it also.
It's awful.
He thinks it's commonplace. That's the crazy part.
It's not commonplace.
Thank you.
I've never heard that before.
Neither did I before yesterday.
Neither is Froster Cookies. That's not commonplace either, Smalls.
Google it.
It's not commonplace.
Don't Google it.
I don't care what Urban Dictionary says. Froster Cookies is not commonplace.
It means you're very annoyed or irritated. It's very similar to grind my gears. You know what really grinds my
that
gears?
I've heard of that before. Yeah, that we've heard of.
I'm surprised you haven't heard Frost My Cookies.
Nobody's heard of these terms. Yeah. I don't know. Where do you and Hembo come from? Is it like, is there a
Midwest, Illinois?
No, but he doesn't. Maybe it's just like the people that are obsessed with baseball. They speak a different language. Because that's the only similarity between you and Hembo.
I just don't understand how Frost Your Cookies is supposed to have a negative connotation.
So
everybody likes cookies.
I did Google it during the break.
Good point.
And it said that the frosting is actually indicating that there's cold in your veins. It's, you're feeling ice.
So then just say you got ice in your veins.
No, you're, why like, you're annoyed.
That's different.
Like,
ice in your veins is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Smalls, I don't know.
Hold on. Further, here's what
Frost Your Cookies is definitely a term.
We know the worst this analogy is.
Time for Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Today, Canny or Canty, can the Milwaukee Bucks make it past the first round of the playoffs?
Hell no. They can't make it past the first. Do you see who they would draw? If things hold serve, if the Sixers win the first play-in game, then that means that they're matched up against the Milwaukee Bucks. And stop me, but the last 2 weeks since Joel Embiid has been back, would you take the Milwaukee Bucks to beat the Sixers?
No.
No. Tyrese Maxey a couple nights ago dropped 50 points when Embiid didn't play in the second game that weekend. So, no, there's no shot the Bucks have of getting out of the first round if they got to play the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's what it's shaping up to be.
That would be a fascinating matchup because Doc Rivers against his former team right off the bat in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he could potentially get bounced?
Yeah.
Probably would get bounced.
And then they realized Doc Rivers was holding them back all this time.
Ooh.
Smalls, next one.
Next one, Canny or Canty, can Tiger make the cut at the Masters?
Yes, if he continues to chip and putt the way that he has, showing that touch around the greens, he absolutely can make the Masters. Now, rule of thumb at Augusta is making sure you hit fairways in regulation, hit greens in regulation. Tiger was average at best in doing that in round one, but finishing round one being even, par, I think is a good start. Now, the question becomes how he handles playing 23 holes of golf today and finishing up round one and going into round two. So that will tell the tale, but I absolutely believe that he can make the cut. I think he finds a way to get it done.
Quick update on that. ESPN, ESPN Plus, ESPN Deportes. Bryson DeChambeau is -7 right now. Max Homa is 6 under, and Scottie Scheffler is 6 under. That's your top three, or top two, two tied for two there at the Masters at Augusta. All right, next one. Canny or Canty, brought to us by Grainger. Can any team keep the Nuggets from getting back to the finals?
No shot. The Denver Nuggets are getting back to the finals because they've got home court advantage throughout the Western Conference. And when you think about it, they're at plus 140 odds to get to the finals out of the West. The next closest team is the Clippers at plus 450, OKC at plus 650, and the Minnesota Timberwolves at plus 750. Now, realistically, I think the T-Wolves are the only team that has a shot with how well they defend. But even with that being said, in the final 9.5 minutes when they matched up on Wednesday night, the Nuggets outscored the Timberwolves 32-23 on 75% shooting. I mean, it was absolutely surgical, and Nikola Jokic was the head of the snake. I just don't know that any team in the West is going to be able to stand in their way, considering Denver has home court advantage and it being arguably the best home court in the NBA, considering playing at altitude.
Let me throw a negative wrench in this, but I'm curious to know your confidence level. Let's say, hypothetically, I told you one of the starters, unfortunately not named Jokic, was hurt and wasn't playing in the playoffs. Would you still pick them to go to the finals?
Who's the starter?
Well, I'm leaving it. So is it anyone but Murray? If I told you one, like one of Gordon or Porter?
If Aaron Gordon wasn't healthy, I would be really concerned about that.
So he's the next most outside important outside of Murray.
Yeah, I know people will point to Michael Porter Jr. I don't think it's that. I think Aaron Gordon in that dunker spot makes that offense go because that allows Jokic to operate from the free throw line, top of the key, and orchestrate the offense. So, if he was out, I would back off of that just a little bit.
That actually, to me, gives us even more acknowledgement of your confidence level in them. You had to pause before thinking about, if I gave you 4 of 5 starters, would you still pick them to go to the finals? That's how confident you clearly are in the Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
Smalls.
Next one, Canny or Canty, can the Vikings trade into the top three to draft a quarterback?
Not only do I think they can, I think they absolutely will. And again, I struggle with the notion that the Minnesota Vikings several weeks ago added an additional first-round pick only to trade up to get the fourth-best quarterback in this class. I think we all know that there's a subsequent move that's going to happen, that they're going to try to get inside of the top five in order to get one of those elite quarterback prospects. I actually think that them mortgaging a 2025 first-round pick is on the table if they can get their guy when the New England Patriots are on the clock with that third overall selection. So, yeah, I think Minnesota is going big game hunting, and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is going to land his guy. Like, we talked about the headlines that we anticipate 2 weeks from now, the Friday after the first round of the NFL draft. I think this will be the big move that we see on draft night, similar to what the San Francisco 49ers did ahead of the draft. I think they do it when the New England Patriots are actually on the clock.
If you're going to give something up to jump into the top five, why wouldn't you make sure that you're putting yourself in a position and giving up more to get the guy you want,
to get the guy that's going to transform your franchise?
I just can't understand that. What's giving up another pick at that point going to do? Get the guy you want.
Yeah, I haven't put this as part of my QB rules, which you can now find on ESPN.com as they're writing about it there.
Really?
Yeah, what can I say? You know me, my QB rules.
So you were the ghostwriter on an article that they put on .com? What's your alias as a writer?
Well, they say my name in it. It says Unsportsmanlike Evan Cohen. They actually put it in there.
Who published the article? Who authored the article?
Who authored the article? No.
I know it was you that wrote the article, but I'm just asking what your alias is.
So it was Aaron Schatz who wrote
it. Okay. How about this? He wrote here. Well, now you're, I mean, okay, I'll read it, I guess. Here's what he said. In doing so, they will hope to land this year's C.J. Stroud. ESPN Radio's unsportsmanlike host Evan Cohen posted on X that ideally you should draft a QB when you want one so you never need one. He put that in the article.
Let's give some context to the article.
There's no context that's needed. QB rules are now published on ESPN.com.
Because I think it would get Canty fired up and you can have the conversation next week. He did a projecting the top seven or top six draft prospects and what their career might look like, right? He did, will they, you know, bust, and he has percentages based upon will they be a bust, an adequate starter, upper tier, and elite. So, and there he mentions Evan's, you know, rule, one of his rules.
So do you get to dunk on Greeny now, or?
Yes. Greeny did an entire week destroying my QB rules. They're now posted on ESPN.com. Well, but I was going to add to the QB rules one other one based on this, which is I don't care when you pick the person or how much you give up to get the person. If you think you have your guy at quarterback, you get him no matter what.
Exactly.
So if the Minnesota Vikings need to add a 25 first rounder, an additional 11 and 23 to get to number three, who cares? Because if you think Jaden Daniels or Drake May are going to be a franchise changer, it doesn't matter what you give up in the future. It becomes completely irrelevant. It didn't work out, but I had no issue at the time with the Chicago Bears drafting Trubisky second. Now, they got it wrong. But my whole point is...
Or the day ever.
Yes, but
Patrick Mahomes in the top 10 and Deshaun Watson after that.
I get it. Whew. But if you think you have your guy, go get your guy no matter what, but you just better be right. And they weren't right.
Yeah, I mean, there's no amount of draft capital that would be, you know, material to you not taking Pat Mahomes.
Correct.
Or C.J. Stroud or Josh Allen. Joe Burrow. Like, how many... It doesn't matter how many draft picks you give up to get those guys. If you got those guys, then they are going to alter the trajectory of your team and your franchise.
If you go to ESPN.com, go to the NFL page, it looks like it's right there, front and center.
So give me the big article. Do you have the QB rules again? What are the QB rules, real quick?
Oh, God. Hold on. Let me go to ESPN.com for that. You know, it's over there.
You don't have them off the top of your
head?
I
thought they'd be tattooing your brain at me.
Right?
That's not even the QB. He put the wrong tweet in there. Wait a minute. I said the Packers continue to prove my point. Draft a QB when you want one so you never need one. That wasn't the QB rules. You misled me, actually. He didn't actually post the QB rules here.
Well, maybe you should have clicked on the link that takes you to your tweet.
Oh,
draft a QB when you want one, not when you need one.
Okay.
It literally says it in the article.
I know. I'm giving him the rules, Nuno. Pay a QB to big wide receivers better, not the other way around. And there was another one that I don't remember.
Must not be that important.
Wow.
All right. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
I mean, it's not a better tonight. It's actually a better today. But before we get there, we have to recap what we did last night. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Two-leg parlay. Knicks Celtics took the Knicks on the money line. Jalen Brunson to go over 25.5 points. He dropped 39 in a Knicks rout over the seas, and that paid out at plus 123. So we're going to go today.
Wait, can I just bring something up here?
Go for it.
We have a little bit of foul play, I think, on our group text. That's why I grabbed my phone. Mark Morales is one of our TV producers.
What's up?
Do we need him talking junk about the Knicks on the group text, going at Pat and talking about how great Jalen Brunson and the Knicks are in the group text?
Jalen Brunson is phenomenal, bro.
I understand
he's
that.
He's amazing. Like, just like, seriously, I watched that game from beginning to end. He is absolutely awesome. Like, he is. I know people have said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Nobody thought this dude would be as good as he is right now.
Yes, you
are.
Nobody
thought he was this good coming out of Dallas. If he did, there would have been so many more people clamoring to throw money at him.
But he wouldn't have been this good if he stayed in Dallas. That's the one defense I'll have for Dallas, because he wouldn't have had the ball as much with Luka there.
Yeah, but he was awesome in the playoffs in Dallas when Luka was out of the lineup.
All right, so here's the text. You ready for this?
What's up?
Statement game for New York over Boston. Boston played all of their top guys and pulled the plug of the starters down 30 in the third quarter. Brunson is on his way to his third straight 40-point game. MVP chance for Brunson in Boston. Can't wait for Pat's lazy troll job reply. That's a little much.
I was so lazy that I just didn't reply at all because I didn't care even a little bit. Because who cares about the Knicks?
It's a little much, is it not?
Well, I mean, the Celtics have already tapped out of the regular season.
Thank you.
They don't care. Like, even like, they know that we've got the best record by a country mile in the Eastern Conference. We got the number one seed. It's about getting ready for the first round of the playoffs.
Are you saying we for the Knicks?
No, he was saying as if he was a Celtic approaching that game.
Yeah.
For a second, I was like, wait a second.
No. He was saying as if he was on the Celtics. We don't worry about a game like that when they're up 13 games on the two seed.
When's the last time Knicks fans could really talk their trash? Let them have it.
They're the three seed in the East, 14 games behind the team they just lost to.
Let them have it.
I mean, just beat, excuse me. Go ahead, CeCe. Sorry, I just had to bring that up and throw Mark under the bus.
Starting a whole different conversation, because right now, the way that it's being propped up, like, are we assuming that the Knicks should get to the conference finals? Is that the floor for this Knicks team?
The floor.
Should that be the floor?
Based on our group
text, Jalen Brunson and how well he's playing, knowing that Milwaukee's probably going to get bounced in the first round by the Sixers?
The floor.
Like, is that the – I'm just saying, throw that conversation out there. But for the play of the day, the bet of the day, because it can't do better than tonight, we're going to go with live betting at the Masters. We're going to take Scottie Scheffler to finish as the leader after the second round of the Masters down at Augusta National. So Scottie Scheffler right now is one off of the lead from Bryson DeChambeau. He's 6 under. DeChambeau is 7 under. They're going to tee off around noon today. So I'm going to pick Scottie Scheffler with the way that he is hitting the ball, with the way that he is putting. I'm going to take Scottie Scheffler to be the leader after the second round today.
Good bet.
That pays out at plus 120.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, unsportsmanlike moments of the day. We give you something funny, weird, quirky, different that happened in and around sports. Let's start with Danny Hurley, head coach, national champion, UConn Huskies.
Yeah.
He was a guest yesterday with Michael Kay at 98.7 in New York. And Danny Hurley, not humble. Take a listen.
Yeah, I think so. You know, since yesterday, you know, we got in here yesterday and started to break down the roster and which returners we think could be starters and which returners we think are bench players or rotation pieces. But yeah, I mean, we'll be strategic with the portal and our recruiting moves here. We've got a great formula right now and a lot of confidence. And we don't even have to be as good as last year or the year before. We can win these tournament games by 6 or 7. You know, like we don't have to be as good as we've been to win another championship. We just have to be somewhere close.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong at all.
Saying this that year, out loud, though, Smalls.
The numbers are the numbers.
Call his team bulletproof.
And he was right. No one was able to break through. Absolutely nobody. They won last year by an average of 20 points per game in the tournament. This year, they surpassed that 23.3. He's absolutely right. They don't need to be nearly as good as they were the past 2 years in order to get it done again.
We can just win by 6 or 7.
It's really laughable. It's really laughable. I mean, you didn't believe it till you saw it. When you went up to Boston, you actually saw it.
I'll never unsee it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to haunt my nightmares.
But we don't even know who's on the team.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It didn't matter last year.
Doesn't matter.
Well, they had a huge talent drain, and they won again.
If you feel that way, which based on the last 2 years, you should, then not only is he the best coach in the country, he's the best coach by a mile. If you're saying, I don't care who's on the team because I know he's going to be Parcells style and bring in guys that play like, look like, act like, behave like all of the people prior to them, and they're just going to win, and maybe if they're not as good, they just win by 6 or 7 instead of 20, you can't compliment a person more than you guys just did.
Well, he's shepherding a program that's won 6 national titles in the last 25 years. So, I mean, like, they are the premier program in college basketball. And with as dominant as they've been the last couple of seasons, if you're a really good prep player, why wouldn't you want to go play at UConn? I get that NIL is such a big piece of the recruitment process, but winning also matters too. And you can monetize winning if you're a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me give you another one here on Sportsmanlike Moments of the Day. Kevin Harlan is unbelievable, obviously, TNT. And he was calling last night the Pelicans-Kings game. Take a listen to his call of a play. Late in the game, 134-123, New Orleans, with 46.4 seconds to go in the game.
Pelicans hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's thrown something on the floor. 46 seconds to go, and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy, it's
yes,
warm,
yes,
and I almost had to go out and eat. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it. I'm just going to save it for and put it in that little heater over there. 46 seconds to go. It's Murphy with the ball and Fox, the quick foul. Pelican.
Kevin Harlan, one of the absolute best in the game. The fact that he can make a call like that on a chicken wing being thrown out onto the floor, amazing. But he's right. It's crispy. It's warm. Why would you throw a chicken wing
Maybe
out?
Maybe you're trying to distract Zion Williamson so your team has a chance to win.
Oh, come on.
Such racism going on. What is that? Is insane. That is crazy. Why would you do that?
What?
Chicken wing on the floor?
Yeah, why would you waste it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I thought Javonte said something else.
I thought he
else.
Called me a racist.
No.
I thought he said that too.
He said waste. No. Not race. Okay.
I swear to God. I was
racist.
Like, he was making.
Impossible.
I'm not saying a fat joke is appropriate either, but it's better than what you were.
It was, yeah. I mean,
what just happened here?
Zion has had an issue with keeping his weight down, right?
And people, I went to
and
the exact same place.
Criticized his diet publicly. Maybe the Kings are like, hey, Kings fans, throw a chicken wing out there. Get Zion a snack on that while we try to get back
his
to the
next
game.
Snap's over.
Exactly.
But the best part for Harlan is he's not upset that someone stopped the game by throwing something on the court, which you should not do. It's that you threw a chicken wing on the court, that it's such good food. Why would you choose that food? Throw Brussels sprouts if you want on the court.
Who's got Brussels sprouts at the game?
Okay, it was a hypothetical.
I mean, based on what Kevin Carlin said, is chicken wings, is that an elite stadium ballpark food?
Not according to Pat Costello.
I'm just asking. The way that Kevin Harlan framed it, I mean, the fact that he said that makes it elite, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, Kevin Harlan got it done last night, just like Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like the Pelicans last night against the Kings. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, I had one more unsportsmanlike moment.
We just had it, actually.
Well, yeah,
one of our producers, Jovante Lawrence, just called me a racist and then walked it back and said he said something else. That happened.
I would not call you racist, and if I did, I would have stood on it like, yeah, you're a racist. I said it. I wouldn't change my words.
That took a twist you didn't expect.
Wow.
Now we will know
that is
if Jovante calls you a racist.
I'm saying when I say stuff, I'm not going to recant from it. I'm not going to change it up.
He's not going to back down. Jovante won't.
I've been called a lot of things. I've never been called racist against black people.
For a chicken wing at a game with Zion Williamson and Kevin Harlan calling the game on TNT.
I didn't expect that one.
He said waste. Why would you waste a chicken?
Wow.
It took a very big twist there many times. A lot of twists and turns. But there was one other unsportsmanlike moment today. So haircuts have been a big theme today. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we learned that Smalls has to spend 4 hours getting a haircut.
Hair color.
That Nuno, our producer, drives 45 minutes for a $60 haircut. CeCe is saying, yeah, that's totally normal. That's what happens with a haircut.
And he was saying when he was playing, he was getting haircuts twice a week.
Yeah.
Tom Brady gets a haircut and on a podcast, Vic Blend's podcast, talking about coming back and belief in Josh Allen. Well, we also learned that one, Chris Canty does not tip on a haircut, which I have received many tweets, texts. They cannot believe someone of your stature does not tip on a haircut.
Well, here's the thing. I'm assuming that the gratuity is included when I'm paying these astronomical prices for haircuts because, like you said, $25 to $30 should be commonplace.
Yeah,
if I'm paying $50 for a haircut, then the gratuity should be included. It's $50 for a haircut, and I'm coming to you. Like, it should be included. It should be baked into the price.
It's not. It's not baked in.
It should be, though, Smalls. I mean, I know we live in inflationary times, but damn, how much am I supposed to be paying for a haircut?
So
it's a $50 haircut plus a $10 tip. I'm paying damn near double what Evan is paying for a haircut.
If you go to a fancy restaurant,
I do have a lot more hair.
That's what I'm saying. So how does that make sense? The math ain't mathing.
If you go to a fancy restaurant that's fancier than you normally go to and the bill is higher than what you would normally pay, you're not tipping because of the higher bill?
Yeah, but you have a false premise because I'm not going to a fancier barbershop than Evan's going to. It's just not.
But you're going to a more expensive barber.
My barbershop is in the hood.
But you're it's more expensive, though.
Yeah, it's more. You're paying more money.
But why
are you assuming a tip? Don't you just ask, is tip included?
When has tip ever been included in a haircut?
I ask them how much is the haircut every single time I get out, and they say $50. So if they're saying $50 every single time I get out, and they know that I'm not giving them anything on top of the number that they say, then ain't it on them to bake in the tip?
They're MFing you when you walk out of that place, man. Like, this guy can't, he's never tipped. It's unreal.
They're not doing that with the haircut, though, because it is always crispy.
But it's the problem.
They're not feeling a way about me not tipping because the haircut is always on point.
This guy played in the NFL.
National radio and TV.
He's got the money and he's not tipping. This is ridiculous.
Pat, really what CeCe is doing is suggesting how their business should be run. But there's no communication about that because he's saying if it's 50, that should be 40 regular and 10 tip. That's what you should be doing. But that's not actually how their business is run. You're trying to give them business advice, right?
I don't know if I'm trying to give them business advice. I just know I ain't paying a dollar over $50 when I'm coming to you to get a haircut. That's just where I draw the line. Just like you draw the line at $25?
Yes.
My line is $50.
Smalls, do you give a tip on your astronomical prices for the hair color?
Not only do I tip the colorist, I tip the girl that did the shampoo as well. So I'm tipping two people.
And what? How do you figure out the percentages of that? Does one get more than the other?
Yeah, the colorist gets more. But I certainly did not want to shortchange the girl who did a lovely job shampooing with the scalp massage and the blow dry.
Do you get the shampoo and the hair, like when you do the lean back shampoo?
Not thing? Every time, no.
I haven't had that in years.
Oh, they give you a scalp massage, so a neck good, massage. They work in some aromatherapy. In the chair, you've got a massager
they
built
got
into the chair.
Or
oh,
diffuser.
Candles. You when you walk in, they're like, what would you like to drink? A chai tea, a flavored water, champagne. You can have whatever you want.
There. Starburst sparkling
kind of,
ice.
Now, see, if it's that kind of service, I don't mind tipping.
Okay.
I don't mind tipping if I get a chai latte and a scalp massage. Well, and some aromatherapy in there. I don't mind tipping for that. I'll give you an extra $10 for that.
Oh, and you
then know, it makes sense. Then I know where my money is going.
If you tip well, you know that the scalp massage is going to last longer,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
They're going to
take care exactly.
of you.
Let's bring ESPN NBA college football announcer Mark Jones into this conversation. He joins us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Mark, we've been talking about it all show long. Over, under $50 paid for a haircut for you, and do you tip the barber?
All the time, man. My hairline got to be crispy when I go on air. I got to be crispy, and I'll go over $50. I do the house call thing sometimes, man,
yeah.
just for convenience. When my man comes over, you know, Chris, you know, we on the move a lot.
Yep.
He comes to the crib. We watch the game. I put the game on. He cleans me up, tightens me up, and you know, I take care of my guys, man. That hairline's got to last like 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Oh, so for sure.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, the house call is clutch. So is the razor edge. Mark, I'm with you on all of those things. But yeah, moving this thing back to the realm of sports.
He even puts the Versace cover on me.
Mark Jones.
There are levels to this.
Heath Flex. Oh my God. I've been watching Mark Jones on television for literally 20 plus years since the Jam Posse back in the day on ESPN NBA. He flexed more than any NBA college football game that he's ever worked just now. Beautiful.
Yeah, there are levels to this. That just lets you know there are levels to this.
Yep.
There is a different experience that Mark Jones is getting than most of us. Hello and good night. But Mark, I got to get this thing back to the NBA. I wanted to ask you about the Denver Nuggets. It looks like they have the inside track to securing home court advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs, and Jokic is on the verge of winning his third MVP. Curious to know, how much pressure is on Nikola Jokic to get that second title, considering the rarefied air that he would be in with three MVPs in the trophy case?
Yeah, I think it's paramount that if you're going to get MVP, you got to run it all the way, 16 wins for the championship. So, you know, When you look at guys like LeBron, Magic, guys who have won multiple MVPs, Kobe, you have to validate that with multiple titles because, you know, it's like up until last year, Joker and Steve Nash were the only multiple MVP winners without an NBA championship. And now with Joker winning, Nash is the only guy that has that distinction right now in the NBA. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of pressure for him to win it, and that's the best-fitting team in the NBA right now, Denver. I think Joker's got a lot of help there. The way that team was built, the way that over the years they added to build a nice defensive core around him with Aaron Gordon, Caldwell Pope, they really protect him defensively, and that team right now is going to be tough to beat.
Mark, the Philadelphia 76ers are healthy. Joel Embiid is back. They've won six straight. How big of a threat are they in the East?
They're going to be a problem for whoever they meet, if it's at the 7 seed or the number 8 seed, wherever they are. We talk about MVPs. That's your real MVP right here, right? I mean, I think if you did a poll and asked people if he had played the minimum 65 games, then Embiid's the MVP. And I think they're a legitimate threat. I think they're a conference finals threat. I'm not sure that they come out of the East, but keeping him healthy and upright during the playoff stretch where you're going to see his minutes increase and rotations shorter than they usually are going to be key. It all depends on matchups, of course. Philadelphia, keep in mind, guys, was a top five rated defensive and offensive team for most of the year when he was healthy.
Mark, we wish we had more time. We're out of time, but you gave us an amazing nugget about the Versace barber bib. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're amazing on the ESPN NBA play-by-play. We'll watch you throughout the playoffs. We appreciate the time.
Love you guys. Keep up the great work, man.
All right, there is Mark Jones, the Versace barber bib.
That's legendary.
Yeah, that is.
That is legendary.
That is.
You can't do better than that.
He is letting you know what time it is.
I didn't see Brady do that yesterday.
Nah.
You want to up your game now?
I don't know if I want to up my barber's game that much where there's a Versace cape he's putting on me. No, I'm straight.
Greedy coming up next. We are on to Monday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.